According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and Preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Now, I know a lot of people love Fridays because it's the day before the weekend. Well, we like that too, but Alex and Bert, no, we like it for another reason, because it's Fire Away Friday where you get to call in and ask your questions. That number, we want to give it real quickly, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We got Robert ready to take your call. And we're going to look forward to that. Alex, I got this to ask you. I know you're going to be in Plainview, Texas. When, brother?
Well, thank you. I'm going to be there Tuesday night through Sunday, and I appreciate you asking about that. I'm actually flying to Lubbock early Tuesday morning, and then Plainview is not far from that, and there's a big venue. I don't exactly know the name of the venue, but they've come together for what they're calling the Plainview Awakening. And I've got the privilege of preaching, and if anybody's down that way, I surely would love to meet you. And, of course, I'll be taking the gear, the Comrex, and we'll do Exploring the Word from Texas, so it's going to be a big week.
Well, that's a beautiful part. Now, I know it's Plainview. It got its name because you can see plainly in every direction from there, but it's a beautiful area, Lubbock. Just a great, great city, and we appreciate all the listeners we have up there in that area of Texas, West Texas, close to the Panhandle. And, Alex, we pray it goes good. I'll be at Fredonia Baptist Church. Again, that's where I'm interim pastor and supplying there. Look forward to being there again this Sunday. It starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, so we'd love for you to be there. Share that time with us. Got a special message. And God's working, so we thank God for that.
Bert, I got this before we get to the calls. And by the way, I want to give the number. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. But it's the Ollie Liner Center, L-I-N-E-R, the Ollie Liner Center, 2000 South Columbia Street. They're in Plainview. And on Sunday, March 24th, I'll be at Bethel Baptist Church. But through the week there, Wednesday through Saturday, we'll be at the arena there in Plainview. And so I'm excited about that. And I don't want to deviate from Exploring the Word, but my website, alexmcfarland.com, a look on the calendar, and it shows where I'm going to be this Sunday through the next several months, actually.
Well, amen. And if you want Alex to come, you can go there and find out. And listen, he will come at the drop of a hat, and he'll drop the hat if you give him a hat to drop. And so Alex and I love to preach, and Alex travels all over. And I usually stay close to home, but it is a great time to share the Word of God, even in 2024. We've got lines that are filled and some that are open, so let's go to Texas. Micah, welcome. Thank you for calling. Micah, hello? Are you there?
Oh, hey there. I'm sorry, I'm from Louisiana.
Oh, man, he just got the wrong info. Are you close to Texas?
A couple of hours. But,
okay.
Not too close.
Hey, every once in a while we'll get bad information. Are you offended that I called you that you were from Texas? Are you okay with that?
No, sir, I'm not too offended by that. That's all right.
Okay, go ahead with your question, Micah.
I'm starting to go to this new church with my girlfriend, and I'm supposed to be meeting with the pastor maybe for lunch at some point in the next couple of weeks. And I was just wondering if you guys have got maybe some good questions I can ask him, or like sort of what I should be expecting, like from him as a pastor, so that I can decide if I feel like I want to become a member of this church and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you guys could just talk about that, that'd be great.
Okay, Mike. Alex, let's do this, and then we'll fill in the blanks. If you were having that meeting and you were Micah, what would be the first question you'd ask this pastor?
Well, first of all, thank you, Micah, for being so conscientious. This is really a great question, and we could talk at length about this. But, you know, what I would do first and foremost, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, and it is only through Jesus that a person can be saved and go to heaven? I would ask this, do you believe that the Bible is completely the infallible Word of God and is our standard for faith, life, salvation, really everything? I would ask this, do you unequivocally believe that marriage is between a man and a woman? And you, if I am under you as my pastor, you can promise before God that you would never perform a gay wedding nor encourage people to attend or support gay weddings. Do you categorically reject transgenderism? And do you believe what the Bible says about gender and male and female? What about the nation of Israel? Do you believe that Israel has a right to exist, and that the ancestral homeland of the Jewish people belongs to Israel? And will you pray for Israel, as Psalm 122, verse 6 says to do? And then, Bert, you know, finally, I would ask two more questions, then I'm going to throw it to you. But I would say this, will you, as a pastor in a pulpit, will you support the United States Constitution? Will you obediently preach on moral and social and political issues, giving us what God's Word says about the issues of our day? And then the final thing I would ask is, how do you respond to criticism? And if we ever found ourselves in disagreement, could we work out those things righteously, humbly, respectfully, and in a God-honoring way?
Great questions, Alex. Let me just suggest this, Mike. If you didn't get them all, you can go to our podcast. You can go to AFR.net, go to podcast, look down for Exploring the Word, and you can hear those again. I would just add one, and Alex kind of covered it, but I would ask them, how is a person saved? I would want to know that. Are they saved by grace through faith? I wouldn't give him any. I'd just say, how's a person born again? And make sure you're saved by grace through faith, that not of works. And all those others, I agree fully with Alex and the Word of God, and again, what the Bible teaches. Center upon Jesus. That's the whole idea. Everything you want to do, Jesus is the centerpiece. He's the virgin-born Son of God. He is the Word of God, and the Word of God is accurate in every way. You know, He is risen. The resurrection is real. It didn't happen just when people believe, but no, Jesus physically was raised from the grave. So you would look at all of those, and I hope that helps you, Micah. Thank you for that, and appreciate you. Conscientiousness.
That was a very good question.
It is. That may be a question we need to remember from time to time. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Ron. Ron, thank you for calling.
Hi, let me take you off the speaker. Yeah, I had a question regarding dusting the sandals from one's feet in the manner of disassociating from people that run against us, turn us, stab us, whatever, you know. How is that best explained in an ethical manner? I mean, we want to be peacemakers, but when we have to disassociate, why is that instruction? Can you tell us about that dusting off the dust from your sandals?
Okay. Ron, great question. Let me just say this, and Alex, I'll turn it over to you. Notice what the reference was to is about receiving them and receiving the message of Jesus Christ. That's the whole idea. It's not about you and how they necessarily, they may offend you a little bit, but you don't dust it off. You work on it. But when it comes time when they have rejected Christ and rejected the message of Christ, he was talking about go to another place. In other words, don't stay there. Again, it goes a little bit with what we were talking about yesterday, even in the book of Ruth, Alex. You remember when he affirmed that he was going to be the kinsman redeemer and the man was allowing him to step up and take that place of the redeemer. And what was it? The shoe. Wherever yeah. your shoe hits, you know, the land is yours. And it has some of that same meaning. I'm leaving this with you. I'm leaving the dust behind, and I'm going to move on. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, the word ecclesia is the church, the called out assembly. And the word there, like it's in Matthew 10:14 about shake the dust off your feet. And it's ektinazo, so it's to bring something out of or to remove from. And let me say this, you know, in Matthew 10:14, it says, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Let me just say, as a Christian in the church, obviously we like the Lord himself, we desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we wish no ill to anyone. But at the same time, Bert, there are some people you just best stay away from. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Bert, I remember growing up, there were boys that if you played with these boys, you knew you were going to get hurt. I mean, there were just some kids in the neighborhood that seemed to carry trouble with them. And I know the Matthew 10 is like if somebody rejects the gospel to, you know, for one thing, and I'm going to say this, I think when you share the gospel and people reject it, on the one hand, you are clear. Their blood is not on your hands. You've done your part. You can know that you tried and you shared the gospel. I do think the shaking the dust off your feet, there are just some people. In a fallen world, sometimes even saved sinners don't get along with each other. And no harm, no foul, may God be with you. But I've learned there's some people just don't play well with others. And you may as well stay away from. I'm being very, very frank and open here.
Well, let me add to that. The Bible makes it plain, you know, about some people that you can't get along with, you know.
Yeah.
Just do that. You know that. It tells you that. The book of Proverbs is filled with similar verses like that about contention and aggravation. So there are some people. That is different than shaking your feet off, your dust off of your sandals. But it is a warning that sometimes distance is the best thing you can do in a relationship. And that puts some distance between you and them for different reasons. And when it comes to a person that was saved and they've got buddies that they ran around with, went to the same places, you remember, which letter was it Paul said that they don't walk in the same dissipation as they did anymore? You know, you don't run with them. And you have to put some space between those people. But there are some people that are just contrary in just every way. and you put some space between you and them, Alex. I think you did good in being frank and honest about it. But that's yeah. a little bit different than shaking your the dust off of your sandals. That Christ, you can do it for a village. They've gone their way. We're going to go to another village and share Jesus Christ with them. Well, we'll be back with more of your questions. That phone number, 888-589-8840.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
We are so thankful for each and every one of you that listen to the show. You know, as Bert and I travel around, people come and we talk about the Word of God, and people very often say what this program and really what this network means to them. And I just want you to know, we do pray for you all. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And Bert, I just sense there is such a momentum because we get so much correspondence from people whose lives are being touched by the American Family Radio Network. And I just praise God that we have these programs and we have Exploring the Word, and the gospel is going out. Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting. And you can also join us on Facebook, and we live stream. So we're available. And then we have the podcast. So there's so many ways. And we're praying God would use us in this program and this network for His glory. That Amen. Is the ultimate for the glory of God. Amen. Well, we've got people waiting. Let's go to Alabama. Mike, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Hey, how are y'all?
We're doing right. Well.
I've got some issues going on in my life right now. I have struggled with alcohol addiction for years. And God took it away from me. And I had some things happen at work and yesterday, and I fell back. I went back, I grabbed the bottle, and that turned right back to it. And because of that, I pretty much screwed up everything with my family. But my biggest concern right now is I've heard when I was growing up and as a kid, because I've been out of church for a while, that eventually God gets tired of us going back and doing the same thing over and over and over. And just finally says, that's it. I'm washing my hands of you. And I'm really worried that I'm there.
Mike, thank you for calling us. Thank you for listening. Let me just share with you, with what you're telling me and how you're feeling, it doesn't sound like God is through with you. It sounds like there are some love that God has for you. But here's what we do. If we're not careful, and especially if we have an addiction in our life, we turn, and remember this, Mike, because I have to fight against it. It's not alcohol I fight against, but it's overeating or whatever, being kind of sulky and everything like that. I return, and everybody kind of turns to the familiar. So what you've got to structure in your life when things go wrong is turn to God. Make that the familiar thing you turn to. And this is what happened yesterday. You returned to that familiar that was in your past. And listen, it hurts. The family hurts. But God is pulling for you. He wants you to come to Him. You've already confessed it, that it was wrong, and you've already admitted that. Now I want to tell you, God's going to take you where you are. Hear me, Mike. God takes you where you are, and he brings you through. He can do that. And I one more thing, Alex, and then I want you to talk to Mike. Mike, find a friend that loves the Lord and talk with them, pray with them, hang out together some with them as best you can. And that always helps. Alex, go ahead, talk to Mike.
Well, Mike, first of all, thanks for calling in. And listen, God loves you, and God is not done with you. God has things for you. And Mike, I want you to hear me, and we would not mislead you. I'm being as sincere as I can possibly be. Jesus Christ loves you, and he is not mad at you. Jesus hasn't given up on you. And I want us to pray right now. And Mike, you still there, right? Mike, are you there?
I am, yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, there's two things going on here. One is the spiritual, and one is really the physical, emotional. And I beg of you, in fact, I plead with you, please do not believe the lie from Satan that God is finished with you and God's kicked you to the side. Because the fact that you've called this show is proof that the Lord is dealing with you. And I think deep in your heart, you know there is hope, and that hope is in the Lord. Now, I pray on the physical side of things that you would get help, and that you would never, never again touch alcohol. And there's the National Substance Abuse Hotline. And Mike, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm telling you, we are telling you because you're helping other people too, brother. There are millions of people listening, and there's somebody listening right now, and your experience is going to help them. All right, there's a number, 1-800-662-HELP. H-E-L-P, that's 4357. 662-HELP, it's free. It's the National Substance Abuse Helpline. And that's like an official helpline that our country has. But I want to pray right now, and I just want to ask you some questions, because a doctor and a counselor must help you on the physical side of things. But there is deliverance, and the new life that you seek, it all begins with Christ. So on the spiritual side of things, where it begins, I want to lead in a prayer. And other people across the country are going to pray as well. I know they are. But Mike, right now, so you'd never wonder again, are you willing right now to believe that the Lord Jesus loves you? He will set you free. And today, on March 14th, 2024, would you pray with me and commit your heart to Christ? Would you do that right now, Mike?
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you these questions, and I want to ask everybody across America to think through these in their heart too. Mike, do you admit that you're a sinner?
Yes, sir, I am.
Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead for the sins of the world? You believe Jesus is who he said, the one who died on the cross and rose again?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And when Jesus died for the whole wide world, Mike, did that include you?
Yes, sir.
It did, didn't it? So I want you to pray.
Yeah.
Why don't you, from your heart to God, pray this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you for creating me.
Thank you for creating me.
I'm sorry that I've sinned.
I'm so sorry I've sinned.
But I want to be forgiven.
I want to be forgiven.
So please come into my life.
Please come into my life.
And forgive me.
And forgive me.
I believe in you. I'm going to follow you.
I'm going to follow you.
And I ask you to be the Lord of my life.
Lord of my life.
From this moment forward.
From this point forward.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Mike, listen, I know we're staying on the phone a while, but just stay with me, Mike. I promise you, on everything that I know and believe, and this is true, Jesus loves you. Now, Satan is not happy that you've turned your life over to Christ, but you are victorious. Your life matters. God is for you. We're for you. Countless people are praying and heaven is rejoicing. But you've got to follow through. And Mike, it is going to take, you know, it takes a lot of bricks to build a house. Well, it takes some right decisions to build a life. You need to be in church, my dear brother. You need to get counseling and never, 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 never take another drink. And the Holy Spirit will help you. And we're going to send you some material that's going to help you. But Mike, one more thing, and I'm going to hand you back to Bert Harper. Mike, God doesn't lie, does he? God is truth. God doesn't tell a lie, does he, Mike?
No, sir.
Well, the Word of God says, John 6:37, the Lord Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will not reject. And you came to him now, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I feel like a weight's being removed.
Praise God. Mike, I want to say something. As a fellow believer, I love you, brother. But even more importantly, Jesus Christ loves you, and he is with you. We want to get your information, no strings attached. But if you'd give us your name and address, and Brent will get your info. We're going to send you some stuff. But, Bert, it's a brand new day in the life of Mike, isn't it, Bert?
It is a brand new day, Mike. And Alex has already said, find a church there where you are. Find a church. And if there is one that's close that has a Celebrate Recovery, I want to tell you, those believers encourage you, bless you, and help you. And so we're praying for you, brother. So stay on the line. And Richard is going to get your information because, you know, Brent is busy. So stay on the line a minute. And we're going to do our best to get that information. And
and be in church on Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday. Don't wait until the very next Sunday. Do it this Sunday. Make that real. And I pray that you will. So stay on the line, Mike, and I think we can do that. There comes Richard. He's going to get that information from you, and that's what we're doing. We're making sure that Richard is available and ready to receive all that information. Okay. We've got it now. Put him on, Brent. We got it. We're Mike. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Amen, Alex.
Hallelujah.
Everybody write Mike's name down. Make it a national prayer time for Mike and for the victory that he had in Christ today and the continued victory that he'll have on Facebook. Let me just tell you, we would love to hear from you. All of you that are Facebook guys, let us know you're praying for Mike. And, man, yes. That would be helpful. Okay, let's go to another call, and it's Sandy in North Carolina. Sandy, thank you for calling.
Hi, I just had a question. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about this. People that I witness to from time to time, you know, they say about Eve and Adam and how Eve bit the fruit, but they was always wondering what type of fruit it was. I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that, and was it really speaking symbolically about fruit?
Okay. If you read, if you were to take the fruit as symbolic, Alex, I'm afraid it would cause everything else in that whole true story for people to think it was symbolic. I believe it was a fruit, and because they put a guard around it. We don't know what kind of fruit it was. Traditionally, the apple, you know, but we don't know what fruit it was. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, this is in Genesis 2. And Sandy, I believe it was literal. I honestly, when you read like Genesis 2, there's no real reason to believe it was, you know, imaginary or myth or something like that. But what it was, look, for us to have a relationship with God, there has to be trust and there has to be choice. And so let me read this here. The Lord God commanded Adam and Eve, this is in verse 16 and 17 of Genesis 2, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eat thereof thou shalt surely die. And so I want to say this, Bert. There have been people that wondered, well, was it an apple or was it a pomegranate? And was there something about the fruit that caused us to be sinful? Bert, it was the state of Adam and Eve's heart. I mean, God could have said, don't eat the peas on the pea plant, or please don't pick the sunflower. You know, I really think they had to trust God and they had to obey God. And it didn't matter if it was grapes or apples or what, but they chose to believe Satan and disobey God.
That is true.
Rather than trust God and obey God. So it was literal. It really happened. But I'll tell you what was literal was the disobedience that was in the heart of Adam and Eve.
It was. Now, here's the whole thing. They knew what good was, okay? They were experiencing good. They knew it was good. But Satan was lying, saying, you're missing out. You're missing out. If you partake of that fruit, then you will be like God. You see the things that are happening? It had to do with pride. Yeah, I'll eat that fruit. It was disobedience, but it comes from a heart of pride because they heard Satan's lie. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Listen,
yeah.
Listen. Obey God. Trust the Lord. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. There is no other way. So yeah. We hope that helps a lot, Sandy. It was good for you to call and keep on witnessing to those people that need to know Christ. And I want to tell you, he'll do his work and he'll continue to share truth with them as you share truth that you know from God. We'll be back with more right after this break.
When Antoinette found out she was pregnant, she was in a bad place. She didn't know how she could raise her child on her own. She searched for an abortion clinic, and God led her to a preborn clinic where she met her baby on ultrasound. When she saw her baby and heard the heartbeat, she broke down crying, and the nurse reminded her that babies are blessings from God. She chose life. Her daughter's name is Treasure because she is a gift from God.
You're listening to Exploring the Word. Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
That's what we're telling you to do. There may be others like Mike that had called earlier, and man, it's tough out there. Got bad news. Difficulty comes. Hold on to those promises because God is holding on to you. Well, we've got lines, and we've got people that want to ask questions, and we're going to go to them right now. Joe in Mississippi. Joe, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir, brother.
My son called me a few days ago, and my 11-year-old granddaughter, one of her good friends, committed suicide. Mm. Don't know the hows or the reason, but she's really struggling with it. And he wanted me to give him some Bible verses, some scriptures that he could use to help her get through it. And I really struggled on what to tell him.
Okay.
So I thought if anybody else could direct me well.
Okay, Joe. 11-year-old. How old was the one who committed suicide? Do you know?
Oh, 11 years old.
Oh.
One of her classmates.
Alex, I've heard of this young happening. Boy. Unreal. Let me just share with you, Joe. I'm not sure anything except the Word of God help. Make sure you dwell on the verses that talk about God being a friend, a father to the fatherless, a friend that stays closer than a brother. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Because what they need to know is that God is there. The understanding of someone doing that, I'm not sure, Alex, we will ever go there. You know, I know it's desperation, hopelessness. I understand that. So I would concentrate on friendship and hope. Those are filled with it. Go ahead, Alex. Yeah.
Joe, thanks for calling. And this is very troubling because, I mean, it's very troubling if anybody thought of harming themselves or committing suicide. But it breaks my heart that a 10, 11, 12-year-old, I mean, somebody so young with all of life ahead of them, it's very sad. And so I really think you need to take it seriously and talk to the child. But I used to work at Focus on the Family, James Dobson, and their website, it's spelled just like it sounds, focusonthefamily.com. And they had an initiative called Alive to Thrive, okay? Now, I used to write these booklets for them. We wrote all these booklets called Dare to Dig Deeper, and we would address the topic of suicide. And I want to encourage you, and there's counseling all over, but the Alive to Thrive, A Biblical Guide to Preventing Teen Suicide, it's for ages 9 to 12. And I mean, again, the idea that a 9 through 12-year-old would contemplate suicide is horrifying to me. But please, you know, kids are thinking about this, and it's so sad, and there's so much dark stuff on the internet about this. But there's a lot, you know, research shows that a lot of kids think about it. It's called suicidal ideation. They're thinking about it. And Bert, a lot of what this is hopelessness.
Yes.
But I want to say to everybody of any age, and I know we have teenagers listening now. We have all sorts of, you know, grown-ups. Look, because Jesus is real, there is always hope. The Lord Jesus, he conquered the most formidable enemy, death and the grave. And look, if our God can create the universe and conquer the grave, he can do anything. He can help us through a problem. He can mend a broken heart. He can give us a fresh insight for the future. So I just want to say to everybody listening, suicide is never, never the answer and never an option. But sir, you know, call up, you know, 1-800-A-FAMILY or go online to focusonthefamily.com and just Google youth suicide, and they have some resources, and they also have a network of counselors all around the country that they recommend. But Bert, this is something every Christian and churches, I think we need to pray about this.
We really do. Matter of fact, we're going to pray right now, Joe, for you, for your son, your grandchild. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're coming to you right now, praying that Joe would be concerned enough that he would reach out to us. And I pray we've given him all that we can know that he can start this ministry to his child and grandchild. And Father, we pray for that family with whom the suicide took place. Father, may you intervene in their lives and show them that through Jesus Christ and him alone is their real eternal hope. No other hope that it will be lasting, but in Christ it does. Help them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Joe, thank you for calling. I want to go to Louisiana, and it's Mike. Thank you, Mike, for calling.
Yes, I was just calling to let you know I prayed with Mike. I'm struggling with a problem, too, and it helped me. So I just want to make sure God wasn't done with me yet. So.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mike, you prayed and asked Christ into your life?
Sure did.
Amen. Amen, Mike. Listen, we're praising God here. There's four of us here in the studio, and Alex back in North Carolina, and all of us are smiling, praising God.
Praise God.
For what God is doing. This is God doing this. This is a movement of God, Alex, and he's moving this afternoon.
Amen. Mike, I just rejoice, and I'm so glad you called. And again, if we could get your contact info too. I've got a little booklet that I wrote. It's called What Does God Say About My Relationship With Him? And Mike, I want to send that to you. Just we care about you. Look, no strings attached. And I'm going to send the other Mike this book as well. Bert, when I'm in Plainview next week, we'll be having this book, and everybody that walks the aisle to accept Christ will get this little book. And we also have it in Spanish. But let me say, Mike, and to everybody listening, the day that you put your faith in Jesus, that's the day life begins, really, Bert.
It is.
Isn't it something?
It is. It's eternal,
so,
it's eternal life, Mike, but it's not just the length, it's the quality. It's a new life. It's a life that that puts you in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. You have a friend that stays closer than a brother. Alex, I know I got saved at 12 years old, and I wasn't it. You were 21, if I remember. And I needed a Savior. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. But I got a lot more than I knew I was getting. I got a friend. Man, isn't it something what you get when you come trust Christ?
And the beautiful thing, folks, you can have as much of Jesus as you want. No matter how long you've been a believer, no matter where the journey of life has taken you, please believe this, folks. Everybody listening, Mike and everybody, God has things for you. Jeremiah 29:11-13, God says he has good, not evil. He has plans, not just randomness, and he has a future for you. So everybody listening, believe that Jesus has great things for your life. He really, really does, doesn't he, Bert?
He does. And listen, I know it's a song, I refer to it, but it's a great adventure. It's the greatest adventure you'd ever be on.
Amen.
And what you have in this adventure trip, you have someone that travels with you, in you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mike, praise the Lord. Welcome to the family. Let's go to Texas and talk to Ryan. Ryan, thank you for calling. Ryan?
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead,
hey guys,
man.
What are y'all's opinion on getting baptized a second time? I was baptized as a, you know, as a younger child, and had a few, you know, decade or so of stagnant years where I didn't follow Jesus the way I feel like I should at this point. But, you know, the last, you know, 10 years or so, I've been working harder at following and all that. I've considered getting rebaptized and been talking about it. What do y'all think about that?
Let me tell you, Ryan, if God is pushing that, if you know you're saved, that's the first thing. Make sure you're saved. Now, then you're going to look, well, was I really saved when I didn't follow Christ for those 20 years or not? But I just want to tell you, I think it would be, this is Bert speaking, Alex. I think it'd be awesome, Ryan, to be baptized, to declare this before God, saying, listen, I didn't know everything I was getting into, but now I know what I'm getting into, and I'm making this public declaration. I'm following Christ. Alex, what would
Amen.
You tell Ryan?
Ryan, I think that would be a fine thing to do, and it's just reaffirming your commitment to Christ, your faith in Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, because, you know, a lot of times children or young people get baptized, and they maybe don't know the complete, you know, they don't fully understand that they're putting their faith in Christ, but there's nothing wrong with that at all to get rebaptized. You're showing everybody, look, this is real, and Christ is Lord of my life. And Ryan, I wish I could be there to see it and cheer you on. But
Amen.
You do it, man.
Amen, Ryan. You got some people that you hear on Exploring the Word. We're for you, brother. And thank you for calling and letting us be a part of what God's doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that. Again, thank you so much. Linda in Alabama. Linda, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, Linda, with your question. We're glad to have you today.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. I listen to you guys every day. My question is the difference between immortality and eternity.
Okay. This is a new question, too. Again, there is a difference. Immortality is talking about the individual and them living, not mortal, but immortal, and eternity is the length of time. They are different, but Alex, immortality, when you talk about put on the mortal shall put on immortality, it's talking about a quality, but it's also length as well, isn't it?
It is. You know, in 1 Timothy 6:16, it says that Jesus is, quote, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. Now, what's interesting is eternity is the realm forever outside of time. And when you leave this world, you step into eternity, right? Either heaven or hell. That's why when you're saved, your eternity is secure. But really, believe it or not, only God is completely immortal. And the word there, I'm looking at, it's fascinating, it's the word Athanasia. And there have been some variations of a girl's name on that, Athanasia, but it means absolutely free of death. Now, in God alone is eternal life, and there is no death. God is everlasting to everlasting. So strictly, the only being in the universe that is forever immortal is God himself. But when we get born again, now listen to this, and I'll throw it back to Bert. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 speaks of us having body, soul, and spirit. Now this is beautiful. Our spirit becomes regenerated or made alive, and you have everlasting life the moment you trust Jesus. And then our mind and soul and heart gets renewed more and more as we grow. And then one day, our body will get glorified. So, Bert, we get everlasting life, and the whole person, body, soul, and spirit, gets redeemed to be forever with Jesus.
Amen. Let me read this scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, what's going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But listen to verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Alex, this has been a victorious Fireway Friday, and we're not going to have time to go to any more questions. We would have loved to do that, David. And the
hour surely did go by quickly.
Went. But let me tell you, Brent takes care of our Facebook page, and I asked for folks if they were going to pray for Mike, and now I think it's the two Mikes that they're praying for. And tell us a little. How many? Got a lot of them, Brent?
Tons. It's coming in from everywhere. It's coming in from our email, our Facebook Messenger. They're posting on Facebook Live during the show. Dr. Peck's producer just emailed us. She's like, I'm so glad I was listening. Stephanie, I just read your email. Thank you so much.
Listen.
It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it so far. Since I haven't been here long, but it's awesome.
Well, glory to God.
It goes a little higher. Now, we've had people to be born again and saved, and they let us know. But there's something that really touches people's lives when they're saved during this hour, Alex, and people are responding. The two mics, you've got a lot of prayers going up to heaven for you to have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's victorious life, isn't it, Alex?
It is, and we give God all the praise for this edition of Exploring the Word. Hey, folks, tell somebody about Jesus. Let's be in church on Sunday. Let's pray for America, and let's every one of us be used by God to be salt and light in this world for God's glory. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Keep your radio on the American Family AFR Network, and keep your heart focused on Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.